Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 28 to 32. If you're using the church Bible, it's page 1135. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Dan, and we thank you for the preparation that he has done for this morning. We thank you for all the gifts and the skills that you've given him. We ask that you would bless him as he pours out this morning and has put in the time this week. Lord, for all of us here, whatever age we are, young or old, would you help us to listen to what it is that you are saying to us through Dan this morning? Would you help us to be attentive to your word? And would you challenge us and encourage us this morning through Dan? Amen.
Thank you, Olivia and Joel. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you here on this the special cluster time that we have together. I'm sure, like me, many of you do online shopping, particularly at Christmas time, where I got really behind on getting Christmas gifts. I was really thankful for kind of Amazon, where you can do some last-minute ordering. And, you know, when you go online and you order things, you have to put your name in, but you also have to put your title in. So I am Mr. Daniel Sweet. But actually, you can change that title when you order things online, and it really doesn't make any difference. I had a friend at university who always signed me up for things or sent me packages as Lord Daniel Sweet. He bestowed on me the title of aristocracy of the United Kingdom, and I kind of think the name Lord Daniel Sweet has a bit of ring to it. I'm not against it. But the title you put when you order things online, it actually doesn't really make any difference. But the title that God gives himself, those are very important. God gives us in his word lots of different names of his and titles. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord, the I Am, eternal God, Jehovah. And then he kind of gives us lots of extra bits to name to tell us about his character. So he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, or Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees me. These are wonderful names that tell us that is God kind of giving out to his people some of his character, some of his names. But all throughout the Old Testament and into the time of Jesus, there was a title that the Jews would really never have called God, because it was far too bold and it was far too personal. And that is the name that we are looking at today, Abba, Father. Now, as we start thinking about God as Father, there'll be lots of people here who've had different experiences of fathers. Many of us will have had good fathers who loved us, but some of us will have had fathers who didn't do a good job. But when we hear and think about the word Father written here, theologian Jen Wilkins says that we should think of it in this way. He is better than the best moments you've had with your earthly father. And he is nothing like the moments in which your earthly father failed you. So that's what we want to think about as we think of Father. So this week, as we start our week of prayer and fasting. What does it mean to have a God we call Abba Father? Well, firstly, we see a bit of family likeness. Our verse of the year says that we are no longer slaves to fear. Why? Because we have been adopted and we have a new father. Abba is a term still used in Israel today, and it's translated as kind of dear father, a sign of respect but deep intimacy. So what does it mean for us to be able to call God our father? Well, verse 28 of our passage says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You may have been asked, what does your dad do for a job? But I wonder, do you know that your heavenly father has a job as well? Yes, he upholds the universe. But verse 28 says, if you love God, if you are a child of him here today, then you can know that God is energetically, continuously, purposefully working for your good. God is not passively sitting around. He is working for the good of his children. Now, we might be thinking, well, not everything in my life feels good. Well, this verse doesn't mean that everything in our lives will be good. The bad and evil that happen to us are bad and evil. We don't have to pretend otherwise. God would call them bad and evil as well. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this in the verses before, is writing about how much suffering he's been through, and it's not good, and it is not easy to go through. So what is this verse saying? So what this verse is saying is that God uses every circumstance, even the difficult things we face, for our good. He redeems the evil and bad things we experience and uses those things for good. If you remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, is a classic example of this. He went through some terrible things. You remember his family, his brothers sold him into slavery. He was then wrongly thrown into prison. God was not the author of those things, but he used them to bless not only Joseph, as the story goes on, but in fact the whole nation. And we can think, okay, fine, God can use these things, even the bad stuff. But wouldn't it just be nice to not have to go through anything like that, not to go through anything hard in life? Well, in some ways that's true. But it turns out God is doing something amazing and something that lasts forever, even through the difficult things that we face in life. He is changing the way we look. Verse 29 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." I wonder how much you look like your parents. I got a picture here. Maybe you look a little bit like them. I don't know if any of you guys recognize this baby. Maybe you think it looks a little bit like Sophia, because this is actually me at her age on my first birthday. So I was much cuter then, wasn't I? But if we go to the next picture, there's my parents. You can tell it's the 80s because my mum's got big hair. But you can see my dad, and maybe you think, oh yeah, actually, maybe Dan looks a little bit like him. Maybe if I grew a moustache, which I'm not allowed to do according to Becca for sure, then maybe I would look a little bit like my dad. But maybe you have physical character traits where you look a little bit like your parents. Or maybe it's not physical, maybe it's your character. Maybe you like some things like or dislike some of the same things. But we can look like and share things with our parents. And although I hope Sophia doesn't look like me when she's older. But we can have quite mixed feelings about this, maybe. You know, I hope I pass good things on to Sophia. But I know I'll also pass on some of my problems as well. But last week we saw that we were adopted into the family of God. We become his children. And amazingly, God uses the good and the bad things in our lives to change us to look more like Jesus. Even though we're adopted, we start to look like our older brother Jesus. And he is the image of the invisible God, the Father. So we start to look like the Father. So as we go through good and bad experiences of life, God uses all those things and we start to take on the family likeness. We start to take on the character of God, the fruits of the Spirit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time, the more that we will look like him. And so this week, as we set aside time for prayer and fasting as a church, we have the opportunity to spend time in the presence of Jesus. And when we pray, that actually changes us as well. It changes our hearts and desires to match God's. So how do you want to look more like your Father this week as you pray? We'll think about that a little bit later as well. But just like when we're children, you remember you fall over and we hurt ourselves and our parents come and they pick us up to check if we're okay. And we know their love in our pain. When we are going through those painful experiences, God is still with us. He's close to us. He picks us up. And he uses even those painful things as for our good as he shows us love. But secondly, we see that we are fully saved. As I became a parent last year, you start to realize how much your own parents did for you, and perhaps that you've never really thanked them for. You know, Becca and I give Sophia everything that she needs. She doesn't eat without us. She doesn't dress herself. She doesn't even sleep without our help most of the time. We're going to have a little video clip that's going on in the background. Recently, we've been teaching Sophia to walk. She wants to walk, and so we've been teaching her to walk. And it's reminded me of what God does for us. We have the next slide here. This is from Hosea chapter 11. God says, "It was I who taught Ephraim," that's Israel, "to walk, taking them by their arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them." I love this image of God teaching his children, the Israelites, to walk. And yet this verse is saying that often they didn't thank God. They didn't realize it was God who had done so much for them. And often we don't realize it's our Father who has done so much for us. He's been working for the good of his people from before time began. He's doing it now, and he's going to do it for all eternity. And verse 30 goes on, and it tells us all the Father has done for us. Verse 30 says, "And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." So we're going to go through each of those words and think about what God has done to bless us. So first of all, I'm going to have Jonah and Thea come up to help me with the first two props that they can help me with here. So Jonah, you can stay on the step there. You can have that, and you have that. So we're going to talk about these. So firstly, God predestined us. It means that before we ever picked God, he chose us. He picked us. And this can be a little bit tricky to get our heads around. You know, did I pick God or did he pick me? But imagine a door, and it is the door of salvation. We might have a little picture of it coming up. You walk through it, and you are saved. And above this door are the words from Revelation, "Whosoever will, let anyone who hears come." And these words represent the free good news about Jesus that is offered to everyone. By God's grace, everyone is invited to believe. You are invited to believe in Jesus today, to come to the cross, to receive forgiveness and eternal life. And so you hear the call and you choose to go through and accept salvation. And on the other side of the door, you look back. And amazingly, above the door on this side, you see the words in Ephesians, "Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world." See, it's true that there is a moment in our lives where we stop and we choose to confess our sin, ask for forgiveness, to believe in Jesus as our King, to choose God. But it turns out that God had chosen us and put his love on us and save us before the world began. This is what God has done for you. Jonah, can you read that first verse? Well, we have a microphone for you, actually. Do we have one? Thank you.
"For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he precedented us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1:4-5.
Perfect, thank you. So, those he predestined, he also called. So if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you will have had time where God called you. It may have been like a child, like it was for me, where I know I needed my sins forgiven. It may have been as a student when you realize that you have a God who loved and died for you. It could have been as an adult when you realize that only our God knows what it means to be human, so can walk through us through every experience in life. Whatever it was that drew you to Jesus, it was God calling you. We would not be interested in God unless he had called us first. We'd be stuck in our own problems, but he calls us. This is what God does for us.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28.
Perfect. Can you guys put those down there? Thank you very much. And you can head to your seats. And could I have Maggie and Amy come up for the next two? I think it's that one for you. Thank you. So those he called, he also justified. Justification is a legal term. Our sin has to be dealt with because God is a good God, and he can't just be unbothered by sin and wrongdoing in the world. And yet, as his children, he justifies us. This is confession time for me. A while ago, I got some points on my license. It was about the time we got the new car, and it was on the motorway, and it was quite empty, but it was a 50-mile-an-hour average speed limit, and I didn't realize I was going 60, and so I got a letter in the post a couple of weeks afterwards saying, you've got some points on your license. So, not good news, but the good news is that in a few years' time, I think it's 3 years, those points will be taken off my license. It will be as if they were never there. But however hard we try to get rid of the debt that we have, of our sin, we could not get rid of it. It couldn't be wiped clean. The penalty isn't points, it's death. But God is the judge we stand before, and he pays the debt that we owe. He takes the penalty we deserve as he dies on the cross. So Maggie, who's got a verse, and she's got a little wipe, a little flannel that we use for Sophia to wipe things clean. It's clean though, don't worry.
You were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11.
Perfect. So finally, he who justifies, he glorifies. Once our Father has forgiven our sins and washed us clean, he is not finished with us. He gives us the glory Jesus has. All of us will have had times as little children. As I said earlier, we've fallen down, we've hurt ourselves. And in the pain and tears, the one thing we want in that moment is our parents to come and pick us up, to check if we're okay, to dry the tears from our eyes. But God, being our Father, does that on an unbelievable scale. One day our bodies will be free from pain, suffering, aging. Our hearts will be free from despair, loneliness, hurt. And our Heavenly Father will wipe away every tears. This is what God has done for us.
Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21, verses 3 to 4.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. This is how we know that all things work together for our good. This is what God has done for every believer, every one of his children. He has achieved it all through Jesus, Jesus' death and resurrection. And he says, it's yours. It's a bit like someone plans the ultimate holiday for you. They choose you to come with them. They've chosen and saved a seat for you on the plane. They've got all your holiday clothes ready, and they've got you a passport ready as well. And they say, enter, and they call you and say, this is a holiday that you must come on. And they tell you that it's been paid for, everything, the price you could never pay yourself. And then they say the destination is going to be more glorious than you can ever imagine. Now, we know that belonging to Jesus is free, but following Jesus is costly. We shouldn't pretend like it isn't. It can be hard. But God has done everything for our salvation, to save us. And he has given us everything we need to follow him. So finally then, we can freely come. Paul just wants us at this point to stop and think. He wants us to take in the truth of what he's been saying. In verse 31, he says, "What then should we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If God gave up everything through Jesus, what will he not give us that we need? If he is the all-powerful creator God, and this is, if the all-powerful creator God is this for you, then what earthly or spiritual power can be against you? How bold can we be this week as we come to pray before this Father? This is the God who gives us all things. Jesus says in Luke 11, "Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, Jesus here is saying that human fathers who have a problem with sin, know how to give good gifts to their children. So a perfect God is going to give the perfect gifts. He's going to give us exactly what we need when we come to him. More of himself, more of the Spirit. We can always come into the presence of God and make our requests known to him. And we come before him with reverence because he is the King of the universe, but also with great confidence because we are his children. He is our Father. Tim Keller says, "The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is his child. That is you and me if we trust in God today." So this week, even now as we come to pray, we can be convinced that we have a Father who is 100% for us. We can be convinced that as we pray, the spiritual forces of darkness are no match for the kingdom of our Father. We can be convinced that we are right with God because Jesus achieved everything for us. We can be convinced that we have a Father who listens to us. We can be convinced that slowly and surely, God is changing us to look more like Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and we're going to worship together, and we're going to respond together as well. But let me just pray. Lord God, we thank you that we get to call you Abba, Father. Lord, it is amazing that we can be this close to you, Holy God. Lord, as we come into your presence now, we just want to say thank you for all that you've done for us. Maybe, Lord, there are people here who have never accepted the many gifts that you offer, Lord. I thank you that you offer them freely now to anyone who will receive them. But, Lord God, we want to thank you for all that you've achieved. We thank your identity secure in you. And, Lord, as we come to pray this week, as we come to be in your presence, Lord, we just pray for the power of your Holy Spirit that you promised to give us. Lord, be with us by your power. Change us. Come close to us as our Father. Amen.